Thank you, Ken. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday gathering. What we will do first is Lynn will play us a song, and we will greet one another on the board, just as you might greet your pew neighbors at your local brick-and-mortar church. So I'll let go of the mic, Lynn, so you can play that song.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love. We are awakening to a long forgotten memory. Dawn is breaking, waves are coming in. Everybody here, standing in wonder beneath the rain and the thunder, rising in love. Chidananda, Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Satchidananda.
Thank you, Lynn. We will start with our statement of purpose. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. Oh. Okay. I'm reading Lynn's comment. She said an Indian, lovely Indian summer. I thought she was saying Indian summer, but apparently that's a book. Okay, I'll have to look for that, Lynn. In addition to our statement of purpose, I will read you the core value. We have five core values. I'll read you the core value that best fits the message for today, and that is core value number five. We accept all forms as temporary appearances. We accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. Thank you for posting those, Ken. And now our announcements. Join us tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, for our speaker spotlight with Reverend Helen Avery. Reverend Helen serves on our member board of trustees and shares in her program, Life is Love, on Wednesday evenings at 6:30 Eastern Time. Reverend Helen Avery shares candid experiences from her path of awakening, drawing on the words of Muji, Regina Dawn Akers, and other non-dual teachers. She shares the love and fear that arises as she commits to a practice of self-inquiry, contemplation, and listening to inner guidance. And yeah, if you're not able to catch Helen on Wednesdays, you're in for a real treat tonight. It's always always enlightening for me to listen to Helen's program. Our second announcement, as you're no doubt aware, our sanctuary director, Ken Gibson, is retiring from that position. So we are looking for a new sanctuary director. This is a part-time, 30-hour-per-week work-from-home position. The ideal person is enthusiastic about Awakening Together, its purpose, core values, and our online sanctuary. The sanctuary director serves on the member board of trustees and on the leadership subcommittee, along with the president and vice president ministers, and has overall responsibility for the Awakening Together sanctuary. We are currently accepting applications for this position and conducting interviews. To find out more, go to our website, awakening-together.org, and look under the About menu for details about this employment opportunity. Our next announcement, join us tonight. No, not tonight. Let me try again. Join us next Sunday, September the 30th at 8 p.m., 5 p.m. Pacific, for our September Movie Watchers group. We will revisit a movie we have seen before, Brother, Son, Sister, Moon. This movie is a dramatization of the events in the life of St. Francis of Assisi from before his conversion experience through his audience with the Pope, including his friendship with St. Clair. Those of you who are traveling on the pilgrimage to Italy will definitely want to watch this movie, as we will visit the basilicas of St. Francis and St. Clair and spend time in Assisi contemplating his journey. So whether you're going on the Italy pilgrimage or not, you'll want to watch the movie. It's a fabulous movie. The movie's available to rent on iTunes, Amazon, Vudu, and YouTube. Okay, and that will take us to our opening song, played by our music maestro, the lovely Lynn Johnson. Take this time to just settle in and before the message. So, Lynn, letting go of the mic for you.
Trying to be someone else. All of my life I've been playing the game. Gotta get out of myself, it seems. Life's not real when you're in a dream. Do you live in a world that's nearly dying? listen, look to your soul. So many people passing by have a need to identify. All of us want to be satisfied. Few people seem to care. Living a life that leads nowhere. Nobody takes the time to try.
Amazing song. Yeah, I wonder how I missed that song. It's amazing. It's beautiful. The words were perfect. let's take a moment for prayer. Thank you, Father, Mother, God, for this opportunity to teach what I would learn. Help me to be truly helpful. Help each of us to hear what we need to hear, see what we need to see. Amen. Okay, my cat wants to be part of this morning. She's right up here on top of my papers, but we'll work around her. At this point, we will have a reading. Ann Blanchard is our reader this morning. Ann stayed home from her brick and mortar church so that she could be the reader. Thank you, Ann, for doing so. Ann will read to us from NTI 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll read Regina's tip regarding that same reading. So, Anne, I'll turn the mic over to you.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Good morning, everybody. So this is Regina's tip from day 230. NTI 2 Timothy chapter 1. Yesterday's reading asked us to focus on the frequency that is God. That is perfect guidance. According to Ramana Maharshi's disciple, Paul Brunton, focusing on the capital S self is the short path to self-realization. However, the fearful mind can distort that guidance into a corrupted mental message that goes something like this. If I feel anything but peace, joy, and love, I am bad. That is an untrue statement. NTI 1 Timothy teaches us how to be with any feeling that is different than truth. It asks us to explore the feeling. See that it is just a feeling, an experience, and nothing more than that. In order to do that, we need to look at our feelings with pure awareness. Thoughts are not pure awareness. Thoughts are judgments. Thoughts tell us what our feelings are, what they mean about us, others, and the world, and what caused the feelings. Pure awareness doesn't have any of these stories in it. As you know, my dog Jamie was recently euthanized. That experience came with feelings. There was acceptance, joy, and a strong experience of life. There was also sadness and a feeling of missing Jamie. The latter feelings came in short waves and then passed. Each time they came, I gave myself to the feelings. In my case, there were no stories about how things should be different, so I did not need to focus on letting go of untrue stories. But I did explore the feelings as 2 Timothy recommends. I noticed what sadness felt like, especially in the heart. I noticed it wasn't unpleasant, which is what the mind would have said about it. The sensation in the heart, which some people might call, quote, a broken heart, wasn't there before Jamie's passing. It was certainly related to her passing, but it was just a feeling. As I looked at it, I realized I did not know what it was. The mind wanted to understand why the feeling was there, but awareness was able to simply be with the feeling in gratitude for a present experience. The same thing was true of tears. Every now and then, tears came. A couple of times, there were a few seconds of hard crying, but none of that felt, quote, bad when looked at with awareness. It was just part of the experience of loving a pet and then losing that pet. If I label the experience based on how it looked through the eyes of awareness, I would say it was an intimate human experience. I felt what it feels like to be human. This is what today's reading teaches. We have the experience of being human because we want experience. Beauty and healing come when we allow the pure, unadulterated experience of experience. Stories, however, pollute experience with a particular spin or interpretation. When we are engrossed in stories, we still have experience, but our attention is more in the head than in the experience. In that way, intimacy with the experience is lost. Love and intimacy are one. By allowing ourselves to be intimate with an experience without becoming lost in stories, we love the experience. We are open to it and empty for it. When we love an experience, it moves through us. When it leaves us, we feel free. In the beginning, that freedom may be experienced as healing. However, openness, emptiness, and freedom are our true nature. We come to know our capital S self by loving experience as it is. Let me say that again. We come to know ourself by intimately experiencing experience, because we intimately experience experience by being open, empty, and free. We be ourself, and so we know ourself. And now, NTI 2 Timothy, chapter 1. It is time to look within at the darkness that blinds you to your awareness of life. You will see many things, all of which are false. Hold my hand, and know it is your own truth that you hold to as we look together at all you are not. You see yourself as less than, and so you seem to resent those who act as if to be greater than the one you see as you. All of this is based on the measuring stick of personhood. I do not want you to deny how you feel. Denial is not the way of salvation. I want you to look at it and feel it with me. As we look at this feeling of less than and the resentment that is noticed for the one who acts out the role of greater than, notice that what you are feeling is a feeling. Move away from the thoughts of resentment to the feeling the thoughts evoke. Explore within you the feeling. Can you see that it is just a feeling? It is an experience, and it is nothing more than that. The thoughts that evoke the feeling are nothing. They are mere props. It is the feeling or the experience that is the goal of the Son of God. You have set out to have an experience. So let go of the thoughts and focus on the experience that you evoke. Life is a roller coaster of feelings. But when you are lost in your thoughts, you rob yourself of the feelings you set out to experience. It is as if you skim the surface, but you do not go in for the full flavor of experience. And so the desire for experience remains at a level of which you are not conscious. The unanswered question remains unanswered because you have not allowed yourself the full experience by the distraction of your thoughts. The good teaching that you have been entrusted with is the teaching of your innocence. This is the teaching you must accept if you are to experience the fullness of your experience and let go of your curiosity. When you feel guilty for desiring experience, you cover over it with thoughts. You call them self-rationalizations or a tool of denial. Thoughts are a distraction from desire caused by the fear of desire. Yet while you allow yourself to be distracted from it, the desire or wish remains. Your guilt is a misperception and nothing more. But your fear of your own misperception has become an obstacle. It is time to let that obstacle go. Release yourself by accepting your own innocence. God has granted you the right to have experience. You have within you the desire to have experience. This desire remains until you have let it go. But you cannot fear it and also let it go. You must let yourself realize the experience to see that the experience can hold no limits that could ever limit or hinder.
Thank you, Anne. Lovely reading. And I will say that I will say that if we've done nothing more, if we accomplished nothing more this morning than to review this lesson, then we've done what we've come here to do. Just the rereading of it is what I'm trying to say is just so powerful. For me, you know, I tell you every week or so, oh, this is a game changer, this is a game changer. I noticed when I read the Thought of Awakening this morning, it talked about line from Hebrews that says, today is now. The mistake you make is thinking that today is tomorrow. And so you see your true desire, but you put it off until another time. And I think that the reading that we just heard and the tip help us to bring healing into the present, to be about it, to focus on the frequency that is God. Regina talks about the corrupted mental message. If I feel anything but peace, joy, and love, I'm bad. What we do is we don't experience our feelings, either because we're afraid of the feelings themselves. We're afraid that it will be too painful, for example, to experience them, or this very thing that Regina's talked about here. We're afraid that they reveal something about who we are, and therefore we deny and repress them. Sorry, I got distracted. Give me a second. Yeah, and the truth is that yep. Sorry again for the radio silence. The truth is, we have three things that we can do with feelings. We can feel them as we're being guided to do here. We can deny them out of this belief that somehow we're bad for having them. Or we can repress them. They can go by so quickly that we never even notice that they're there. Oh, we notice, but we deny that we notice that they're there. Yeah, hang on a second. Let me close this door, please. I want to read to you again the last lines of this tip. We come to know ourselves by intimately experiencing experience. Because we intimately experience experience by being open, empty, and free. This is what true self is. Open, empty, free. And free. This is what unadulterated awareness is. This is pure awareness. Open, empty, and free. You know, Regina talked to us a few weeks ago about be the imitators of God. This is being an imitator of God. This is as if living, as Paul Brunton talks about. Being open, empty, and free. We be ourself, and so we know ourself. We be open, empty, and free, and so we have the experience of pure awareness. We do this by removing the focus from the thoughts and placing that focus on the feelings. In order to do that, we have to embrace our innocence. It's okay. Whatever we're feeling, that's okay. That's the first step. Whatever we're feeling, it's okay. Let's just look at the feeling. Yeah, acceptance. In fact, you know, we've talked for a long time now in gentle healing about practicing the loving all method. And when I talk about loving all, I think about my friend Martha Creek, who says, I don't love everything. I don't even like everything, right? As Regina says here, love and intimacy are one. So how do we love all? We simply be with it. We simply be with it. We can't be with it if we think the fact that we had a feeling tells us we're bad. We can't be with it if we believe our thoughts around the feeling. We can't be with it if we deny it or repress it. It occurred to me this morning in looking at this that actually this is like it's a lot like the root cause inquiry process. Yeah, and Kathy says we can't be with it if we want it to be different than it is. We would only want it to be different than it is if we're listening to the stories about it. If we believe that the thought is telling us something about ourselves. As NTI says, it's just a feeling. It's an experience and nothing more than that. It doesn't tell us anything about who we are. So in terms of, again, this thought that this is a lot like root cause inquiry, what we're asked here to do here is to notice there's a feeling. Now, normally, what I have done is to notice there's a feeling and then either believe the story that's being told in the head. You know, I get that stab of anxiety or fear or shame. And I can, and I'll do one of two things. I will listen to that story. Oh yeah, I didn't return that phone call on Friday I was supposed to return. And believe, you know, I don't hear the words, therefore you are bad. But I get that pang of guilt or shame. That pang of guilt or shame tells me that I am believing the stories in my head. And so, again, as in root cause inquiry, there is a one-line explanation, right? So for me, it's helpful to look at that one-line explanation, not the whole story, but to look at what's going on. You know, Regina says here in her tip, she says, in my case, there were no stories about how things should have been different. So I did not need to focus on letting go of untrue stories. For me, when I didn't, actually I missed a phone call that I was supposed to be available for on Friday. I just missed it. Didn't hear the phone ring. I think I had maybe had my headphones on, whatever. Which is all part of the story, right? Well, why did you miss it? You know, and the thought is, the underlying thought to that is, well, I'm irresponsible. You know, I can't be relied upon to do what I need to do. I mean, that's a long story, right? All leading to the therefore I am bad. So again, as in root cause inquiry, what I can do to do what 2 Timothy chapter 1 is telling me to do is, when I feel a feeling of shame, is to do what Regina told us. And I looked for the another tip this morning and couldn't find it, but something she told us a couple weeks ago basically is to I feel the shame. I go, what was that about? And I go, oh yeah, it's about that missed phone call, right? And then I can say, not true, only story. Now, I don't know that that's the exact quote that Regina gave us, but that's basically the one that's been running for me. Not true, only story. And then, you know, I don't use that as a way of repression or a way of denying, oh, I am bad. Or, okay, that's been dealt with, now I can go on with my life. No. I can see the shame, say not true, only story, and then sit with the feeling. You know, what we do most of the time is push that away, right? Oh, not true, only story. I'm okay. And yet we never get to the experience. We never get to the underlying feeling that brought that story to our attention. So we're asked to make a full turn from the thoughts, a full turn from the thoughts, and go into the feeling. What does that feel like? Regina talks about doing that with Jamie, but, you know, what do I feel? A contraction? Do I feel a pain in my chest, a tightness in my throat? You know, help me be with this experience. I don't want to avoid the experience. Again, what we've done for years is to hear the story, or not, just feel, you know, just feel the pang and go, ooh, what was that? I'm not even going to look at that. Okay, next thing, right? Or to hear the story, feel the pain or the shame or the fear of the story without actually exploring it. And so what we end up with is this low-level pain, this low-level, we live a life of low-level fear, low-level anxiety. And I call it low-level because, you know, it's running all the time, but it's not up in the, you know, it's not up where we're dealing with it. And so it never goes away. Wallering in it. Yeah, wallering in it, Amy. As we say at home, wallowing, she wrote. And because we don't deal with it, this just becomes a way of life. Oh, feeling, stuff it. Oh, feeling, stuff it. Right? And what we're here to do is to have the experience. What we're here to do, and Michael Singer talked to us about this, and Cortana in the song that Ken generally plays on Sunday mornings. We're what the feelings pass through, right? If we hear the thought and have the corresponding feeling, all right, here's what I'm trying to say. We don't let it pass through. Michael Singer talked about that. We just stuff it. We're like, oh, there it is, and then we stuff it. And again, how do we love with what is? We be with it. We're intimate with it. Second Timothy chapter 1 says right here, denial is not the way of salvation. I want you to look at it and feel it with me. Move away from the thoughts to the feeling the thoughts evoke. So we talk about not wallowing in our stories, but then what do? We just be with it. We go on and have the experience. That's loving what is. Explore within you the feeling. For 2 Timothy chapter 1 tells us that if we don't do that, this desire for experience remains. What does that mean? It means we don't get to experience our true self as our true self. It means that we continue to live in the play of the world. We continue to see ourselves as persons and live from there. We live from our heads instead of our hearts if we deny it, if we continue to deny our feelings. Yeah, and that chapter finishes up with release yourself by accepting your innocence. Release yourself by accepting your own innocence. The desire to have experience remains until you have let it go. You cannot fear it and let it go also. Regina says, by allowing ourselves to be intimate with an experience without becoming lost in stories, we love the experience. We are open to it and empty for it. So, by having this orientation in mind, we go ahead and do what we're here to do. We don't put it off till tomorrow. We recognize today is now. Let's do this today. Let's sit in the truth of ourself today. And how do we do that? By having the experience. That's what we're here to do. NTI says that is the goal. That's the goal of the Son of God, to have the experience. So let's not hold ourselves apart from it by denial and repression. It's a great opportunity. At this point, I mean, if this is our focus, it's just amazing if we if we begin to view our emotions as an opportunity to actually experience true self. Oh my God. Dig in. Look for discomfort. Look for discomfort. So that I can dive deeply into the experience. Because diving deeply into that experience without believing the stories about it is the experience of the true self. It's here today, not tomorrow, not when, gosh, I get all this stuff resolved, not when I become perfect, not when I, you know, make the ego nice and kind and pretty and no, today, right this second. Every emotion gives you the opportunity to have an experience of the true self, to be an imitator of God, open, aware, empty. Every emotion. How many emotions do you think you have in a day? Tons, right? Experience them fully. The same way that you accept and welcome joy, accept and welcome discomfort. It's an experience. It doesn't say anything about you. You're not bad for having an experience. You're not bad for being in fear. You're not bad for feeling shameful. You're not, right? You're not bad for being anxious. Let that part of it go. That's part of the story. That's guilt compounded, right? First I feel bad for not returning the phone call, and then I feel bad for feeling bad. By focusing, by looking for the emotions, we get a chance to slow it all down. Ooh, there's a stab of, oh. Where normally I would just, you know, gulp and go on. And if we have trouble identifying our emotions, it's because we haven't slowed them down. You know, if you just have that general zzz of anxiety, right? Zzz of fear, that low-level feeling. It's because we're not dealing with the emotions as they're in front of us. We feel that stab, and what we do is we're quickly believing whatever story led to that stab of pain, guilt, fear, anxiety. We feel it, and we believe the story. We don't realize we're believing it, but we believe the story, and we never have the experience. Yeah, Cher writes, feel our emotions to feel and be our true self. That's it. That's all that's required. And I don't have to get purified before I can do this. You know, tomorrow. I'll get purified today and so I can be with the true self tomorrow. No, 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 no. This is our opportunity. This is purification. This is the experience of being human. That's what we came here to experience. Let's be about it. As we do this, like Regina said, you will feel at first, it will feel like healing. In the beginning, that freedom may be experienced as healing. Because you're going to do it and you're going to go, wow, that was much better than rolling around in the story for 30 minutes or 2 days or 2 years. What does this feel like? What does shame feel like? Do we know? Have we ever dived deeply within that to see what does it really feel like? You know, does it make my ears warm? Do I hear a buzzing in my head? What's going on? What's going on when this comes up? Or do I hold myself apart from the feeling by telling my stories about it, justifying it, going, well, you know, I'm normally really very calm, but this was a major event and all people feel blah, 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 whatever the story is, right? Or do we project it? Well, if he hadn't said that, then I wouldn't have had to do this, right? All of that's in our head. We're asked to go to our heart and experience it with pure awareness. Yeah, deny, disguise, call it by another name. I want to read again just a second from Regina's tip. Timothy teaches us how to, NTI, 1 Timothy, actually they should say 2 Timothy chapter 1, I think. Timothy teaches us how to be with any feeling that is different than truth. It asks us to explore the feeling, see that it is just a feeling, an experience, and nothing more than that. In order to do that, we need to look at our feelings with pure awareness. Thoughts are not pure awareness. Thoughts are judgments. Thoughts tell us what our feelings are, what they mean about us, what they mean about others, what they mean about the world, and what caused the feelings. Pure awareness doesn't have any of these stories in it. So that's the call. That's the practice. And don't wait till tomorrow to start the practice, right? Let's do this today. I told a story the other day in my teaching that I will tell again. As I'm practicing this practice, as I'm looking for discomfort, right? I'm being on the lookout for it. I went out in the garage and my eyes landed on my pickup truck, and felt this stab of, you know, I couldn't identify it. I didn't know what the feeling was, but I felt a stab of something. It was discomfort. And because I was on the lookout for the feeling, I was like, oh, what was that? And then I realized that the story that came in my mind, quick as a flash of light, right, was there's the pickup truck. I should have gotten new tags for it. I'm sure the law requires that I get new tags for it, you know, because it says, you know, it's still Indiana tags. And I feel guilty for not getting Colorado tags for my truck. And then I sat with the feeling. I didn't need to go into deeper levels of, although at some point it's helpful to do the more protracted root cause inquiry. It was just the willingness to be with that feeling that allowed me to go, what? What's going on here? Oh, I just saw the truck. See, if I hadn't been looking for the feeling, I wouldn't even have realized. You know, if I'd just been in that stuff mode, just let me just stuff this feeling away and get on with my day, I wouldn't even realize what had just occurred. That there was a feeling I saw the truck, made me feel guilty, fed into those, I am irresponsible, I am bad. Right? So I can see, by being willing to explore my feelings as opposed to repressing them, denying them, projecting them. By being willing to explore the feelings, I get to see what the mind's thinking. You know, the mind is talking all day long. You're bad for this, you're bad for that, or, you know, whatever. I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that. I feel shame over having done this, I feel shame over doing whatever it is, right? The bad stuff, right? And like Regina says, it gets corrupted. If I feel anything but peace, joy, and love, I am bad. So what do? I stuff it, because that just further reinforces I am bad, right? That's what we think. We think that if I pretend that I didn't just feel that emotion, then I can avoid being bad. So it's a matter of focus. It's absolutely a matter of focus. What am I feeling? If you're bad, you're not. If you think you're bad, if you accept that as the premise, then you won't be at liberty to explore your emotions. So that's why that's the first thing that's got to go. Beauty and healing come when we allow the pure, unadulterated experience of experience. Let's be about that. Love and intimacy. Intimacy with the experience. Love and intimacy are one. Let's do that today. Yeah. And it says, I feel nervous and guilty because I believe a story about what something is. Yeah, and I made up the story. So, we talk about letting go of the stories, et cetera, et cetera. But the best the best clue you're believing a story is the feeling that accompanies it. So let's have the feeling and chuck the story. Openness, emptiness, and freedom are our true nature. We come to know ourselves by intimately experiencing experience, because we intimately experience experience by being open, empty, and free. We be ourselves, and so we know ourselves. This is our invitation to be about that. Okay, guys. I love you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here with you. Lynn will play us a song. Please take the opportunity to donate during the song. Ken will post the donation link, and then we'll have an opportunity for sharing after. Okay, letting go of the mic.
In peace. sweet dreams till your soul is released. Beloved child, my heart is yours. Beloved child, go out and open doors with your love, with your faith, your compassion, with your grace, oh, with your
thank you, Lynn. So this is, it's time for, yes, it's time for sharing, and I see Jay has his hand up. Jay, please take the mic.
Oh, thanks, Jacqueline. That was a beautiful message, perfect for me this morning. And also, if you'll remember, my homily back in July was entitled The Power of Looking Into Your Fears and Resistance, and you were actually my reader, and you read from Mary O'Malley's book, What's in the Way is the Way, and there's a lot of similar points, in different spin with Timothy 4, but definitely connected to not Timothy 4, but Timothy 2, to the power of looking at what's going on, being with it. Yesterday I had some anxiety come up, and I was trying to at first search my mind for where, why I was feeling this. And then I realized I was thinking about it and that wasn't feeling it. So this was a perfect message for me, because every time it came back, then I remembered to just be with it and not wallow in it or judge it, but just to see it and This morning it did fade, as it always does. But some purification, some, you know, fear, something coming up. You know, I don't think in all cases, like Regina talked about, if it just comes up out of nowhere, you don't need to, you know, just be with it until it fades. You know, it's some unconscious thing, it's some past thing. But I mean, I know a lot of the examples you were bringing up, Jacqueline, were things that were triggered by, like looking at your license plate, like things you knew about, right? But if it comes up from something that's like unconscious or from some deeper thing, it's important to practice, I think, that same thing you were talking about, which is what I'm doing. So it was a really good reminder of that. And that to just realize that is the way to awakening, is through what's happening right now, and to be in that authentic experience, whatever it is, and not to wish it be different than what it is, just to surrender to what it is now and be grateful and be with it. And it reminded me of like when we're kids and our parents are reading us stories, if that has been your experience, it may not be, but my parents read stories, my mom mostly, when I was going to bed. And these stories weren't always, peaceful. There was, battles, or what you think of as, you know, some prince fighting against a dragon or something, you know, and I remember feeling fear and worry as a kid listening to these stories. And I was, you know, in joy hearing, feeling these feelings of fear or anxiety or whatever. It was all because I knew it was a story, and it was all just for the experience of it. And there was no judgment of those feelings because it was all part of a story. And so I think we forget that, you know, we think it's real life, you know, and we forget to enjoy and just allow and be part of the journey. So great message, Jacqueline. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. I appreciate you sharing your experience. I just want to say that you had mentioned that my experience was that were things I knew about, and I just want to reiterate that, like the missed phone call, yeah, that was like I went, oh, when I realized I missed it, and then I immediately felt bad, you know, right, and dealt with that. But the truck thing, I just want to, that's one of those things that would have added to that underlying level of anxiety or shame or guilt that was not in my conscious awareness. But by being willing to look for the feeling, then I saw, oh, there's a story that I'm telling myself. Over, frankly, apparently, every time I look at the truck. So I just want to make the point that by looking for the feelings and being open to experiencing them, I get to see stuff that is not in my awareness. So I just wanted to add that. So thanks again, Jay, for sharing. And Lynn, please take the mic.
Thank you, Jacqueline, and boy, right on this morning. What a great message. I think that what I really got and have been getting kind of the same way is that, yes, we're here to experience an experience, and what I've seen is if I don't experience it while I'm experiencing it, I will experience it again, over and over and over and over, until I absolutely give in and experience it. Otherwise, yeah, it just loops and loops and loops on me, because that's, I ask a question. This is the idea, the tiny mad idea. What would be the experience of this being separate, this being individual being, whatever it is, the question, it's all about the experience. And so if I'm not experiencing the experience, then I, like I said, I'll experience it again in a different way with different people. And yeah, and You know, so, you know, if I, you know, I'm eating something delicious and I don't fully experience the eating of the delicious thing, I will want to eat that delicious thing again right away or have more because I didn't get all the experience that I was having from it. And, you know, when I recognize that, then, you know, I start slowing down and experiencing the experience I'm experiencing. that sounds really funny, but one thing that I started doing was writing a book. Many people told me I need to write a book or I should write a book, and enough people told me at the same time that I just took it as guidance. So I started writing a book, and it's a book about my life. And that song, that In Dreams song that I played, I had to play that. I put that song on a loop and played that song on a loop over and over and over and over as I sat here and thought about the situations in my life, the things that had happened to me, the things that I had done, you know, all these things that just brought up huge waves of sorrow and regret and fear and upset and angst of all sorts. And you know, as I started actually experiencing the experiences of my life by reviewing them and writing about them, the actual feeling, of course, interpreted by me now, because at the time I maybe wasn't even able to interpret the feeling into words or to know what it was. But to be able to feel that feeling and know, like the song says, you know, dream your sweet dreams till your soul is released. You know, that's all I'm doing is reviewing these dreams. And you know, being in this place where I'm remembering that I'm loved and that all of these things are my what I ask for. I ask for the experience and I'm being given it. And as I experience these experiences and now become just open, like an open heart to the world, to every experience that comes to me, and not only invite it, but bring it myself, because I know that is the only way I'll ever be satisfied. That it's done, you know, that I did what it was I wanted to do and found no path at no point, just like the computer in that War Games movie with Matthew Broderick comes to the point where he recognizes there is no win, and that's what I came to. There is no win. This is just it. I'm just playing. And exactly, the only way to win is not to play. Exactly. Anyway, so thank you so much, Jacqueline. Wonderful topic, and I love you all.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Lynn, for sharing. Yeah, I like that analogy to that movie, War Games. The only way to win is not to play. Yeah, quit rolling around in the stories, right? Have the experience, but not like all the stories. So, guys, it's been great. I love you all. I'm gonna let go of the mic, and we'll have our closing song, and then we'll have a half an hour afterwards for fellowship. Letting go of the mic. Thanks again, Anne. Thank you so much for staying home and reading. Love you guys. Bye.
Cards as a meditation, and those he plays never suspect He doesn't play for the money he wins. He doesn't play for respect. He deals a cost to find the answer, the sacred geometry of chance, the hidden law of a probable outcome. The numbers lead a dance. I know that the spades are the swords of a soldier. I know that the clubs are weapons of war. I know that diamonds need money for this art, but that's not the shape of my heart. He may play the jack of diamonds, he may lay the queen of spades, he may conceal a king in his hand while a memory of it fades. Know that the spades are the swords of a soldier. I know that the clubs are weapons of war. I know that diamonds need money for this art, but that's not the shape of my heart. That's not the shape of my heart.
Shape of my heart.